remember all of our parishioners. So today is the midpoint, as it were, of Great Holy Lent. And so it is the Church has ordained that we venerate the cross. And I always think of it as the story of the prodigal son, and when he was returning, perhaps he was halfway there. The father came out and greeted him and fell upon his neck and kissed him. And so I think we can see, in a sense, our Father, our Lord, our Father represented in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, coming to us and falling upon us and kissing us and embracing us and bringing us with his guidance and his escort, with the cross held high ahead of the procession, bringing us to the place of his death and resurrection. And when we read this Gospel of St. Mark, which is for the cross, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. First instruction, we have to deny ourselves. And what that really means, we have to decide to deny the worldly and carnal person that we are, and take up our cross, which I think in a sense is to crucify the flesh through our prayers and fasting, so that we can spiritually follow our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is a hard teaching to receive in the world that we live in, with all of its pleasures and its distractions, the idea that we deny ourselves and take up our cross. And I think taking up our cross really does imply crucifying the flesh, crucifying the passions, and forcing them to submit to the will of God and to his word. And he says, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And again, he's speaking of our physical life, our carnal life. If we live to save it and to propagate it, as it were, to continue it, then we shall lose our life. We shall lose our spiritual life. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. And this is where you can see the turning from flesh now to the spiritual life. That is, if we do struggle, and of course, there's not a chance that we ourselves are going to conquer the flesh with all its pride and all its vanity and all its passions, except in that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is merciful to us. And that he works this mystery within us. So at least we can do, in the spirit of the cross, is prostrate ourselves before our Lord and just ask him, Lord, please save me. Please raise me up. And it reminds me of, maybe I've told all of you this before, but it reminds me of times in my own life where, I just didn't know what to do. Things were difficult, and many things seemed calamitous even, and I remember kneeling on my knees in front of my icon, the Savior, the Mother of God, just holding my hand up and saying, Lord, I don't even know what to ask for. If I knew what to ask for, I wouldn't know how to do it. Please, just take me by the hand and lead me. Just lead me, because I don't know what to do, and I'm lost. And I remember getting great consolation, because prayer is not a matter of words, it's a matter of what our heart says. What is our heart saying? If our heart really cries out to our Lord in the depths of our soul and says, look, help. I just need your help. I'm lost. I'm without words. I don't know what to ask for. If I knew what to ask for, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to do it. Just lead me. Lead me. Take me by the hand. And, you know, you have that, I don't know if you have these visual images, but the visual images of being like a little child, you know, and just take me by the hand. I'm going to get lost in the crowd. Hold on to my hand. Hold it securely. I remember my mother holding my hand securely at times. Used to visit New York City where my grandparents were. Sometimes it was very busy, and she'd hold on to our hands and, you know, take us in strength and guide us. And so we have to ask with our heart that our Lord will lead us. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And this, obviously, this is repeating the former statement, former verse, but more completely. And wheresoever therefore shall be, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. And, think about it. I mean, our Lord clearly knows human nature. And he certainly not only knew it because he was incarnate, but he knew it because he had the eyes to see into and through each and every one of us. And in seeing, he knew. And he knew that there were people who, in a sense, were ashamed of identifying. And think about that. Has there ever been a time when, we probably would have a very hard time, lacking humility, we'd have a very hard time to say that we were ashamed of identifying with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. But maybe if we say, well, there are times when I didn't, you know, reveal this to someone, or I just suppressed it, or I hit it for fear of what they might think, that I, like a child, might kneel on my knees and ask for his help. And perhaps our Savior looks into us, our hearts, and or maybe it's our pride. Maybe it's just our pride. It sounds like a good idea, you know, to do what he's saying, but maybe we have pride. Maybe we think we can do it on our own. I mean, after all, we're adults. I mean, we should be able to rise up on the occasion and just do what is asked of us, to submit to him, and to give our life to him and die to the world and be born again, as it were, in the Holy Spirit. And you know, we can do that. Maybe we're ashamed to ask for help because we're so proud. I mean, well, we should be able to do this, right? And maybe we're ashamed because of our pride. But it is a mystery, and he obviously knows and looks within the human nature, and he knows that there are reasons that we hide, and it's been, you know, capsulized here in this statement of him who also shall shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And maybe he's talking also about we're ashamed because of judgment. Maybe we're ashamed because we don't, you know, we're afraid of judgment. And maybe we think somehow that if we hide those things that separate us from God, that it works, you know, with people, right? Who can see over the outside. Sometimes we just hide our faults. But here, and out of human shame to hide the truth of our inner life before the Lord as he comes in judgment. So we need to obviously examine ourselves. And the Savior says, truly I say to you that there are some of them that stand here which shall till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And this is very powerful and wonderful thing. There are actually people who have renounced their pride, have conformed the desires of the flesh to the loving will of God in all his gentleness, who have renounced shame, as it were, before him, and have thrown themselves into the arms of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ with faith, complete faith, and purity of heart and intention and mind, and just, Lord, save me. But from the depths of our hearts, without hiding anything. And it seems as though our Savior is saying that there are those who will see the kingdom of God come with power. And I think these are the saints and the apostles. I mean, certainly Saints Peter and Paul and all of the evangelists and so on. They saw the kingdom of God come upon them. And they understood that they had been, obviously, in the human flesh, the process of sanctification is not complete until the Savior takes us into his heavenly kingdom. But there are different stages in which people, and I think the Holy Apostle, like Holy Apostle Paul, I mean, my word, he saw the kingdom of heaven, even at the very beginning. And then he spent 17 years, as it were, before he preached. And he saw the power and the glory of God through his ministry. And it's in him, we see in his example, the kingdom of God coming in power through his saints. And this is what we see through in our Holy Church with all of the icons and all of the examples. We see those in whom and through whom the kingdom of God is manifest and are very humble. Saint John the Russian, through whom the glory of the kingdom of God shines, and our Saint Seraphim Saraf, whom we venerate with such love, and Saint Nectarius, and all the others, and Saint John of Shanghai and San Francisco, and Saint Herman of Alaska, are luminaries in whom the kingdom of God has come with all its power for our salvation. Oh, that we could conform our lives, that we could be disciples of them at least, and have the power of God working in us for the sanctification of our own lives and for the illumination of the path and the lives of others, that others would come through our example and through the grace that shines in us into the glory of the Lord. May it be so, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.